Thank you, Father, for this day. Lord, we pray your blessing upon Mike and Cheryl as they're home right now, and as he's having a hard time getting out. And we just pray your blessing upon them. And Lord, I pray your blessing upon this body today. I pray that you'll bless me as I bring forth this word, that it will minister to all of our hearts. Lord, I pray for our Sunday school teachers as they're just now taking our kids to teach them. What a blessing that is. I pray for a great anointing to be upon them. Lord, I pray for our sister churches in the valley. I ask that you would bless them and their pastors this morning. Lord, we need to be one unit working together. Even though we call ourselves different names and we're in different locations, we need to be one unit working together. And I pray that you will help us to mold into that one unit that you want us to be. And I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want you to look at this. And Asher, the father of Tekoa, had two wives, Hela and Naarah. Naarah bore him Ahuzan, Hefer, Temeni, and something, Hasharati. How would you like to have that name? Now, these were the sons of Naarah. The sons of Hela were Zerah, Zohar, Ethan, and Koz begot Anab, Zoabith, and the families of Arhil, the son of Haram. Now, I used to go through those pretty fast, as you can see why. And, you know, the begats, the signing of the land. There's so many things that it's rather boring just to listen to. And so I would go through them pretty fast. And I had probably gone through the Bible and gone through this passage 20, 30 times. And back about 20, 25 years ago, I happened to key in on the next verse. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. Now, Jabez literally means one who causes pain. How would you like to have that as your name? One who causes pain. And it's obvious here that he doesn't want to live up to his name. And you know, when we think about it, over the years, and I've had a few of them, I have seen kids called all kinds of names. Dummy. How would you like to be hung with that name? You're worthless. You can't do anything right. You know, I've seen parents say these things to their children, given that type of name to them. You're hopeless. You know, we really have to be careful what we do with our children. And we really don't want them to live up to the names that we might call them. And yet many of them do, because that's the name that's been handed to them. Now, Jabez was different. He didn't want to live up to that name that was handed to him. His goal was to live honorably. Now, look, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Now, this is the Holy Spirit causing this to be written. Jabez is listed in these two verses, and that's it, in the whole Bible. And yet the Holy Spirit directed the writer of 2 Chronicles, or 1 Chronicles, to say this about him. He was more honorable than his brothers. Now, you know, I want to be honorable. I want you to believe that I'm honorable. And I think every one of us would want to do that. But it says he was more honorable than his brothers. Now, I have no desire to be more honorable than you, my brothers and sisters. What I really want is for us all to walk honorably. That's my desire. It's said of me that I'm more honorable than others, but I do want it to be said of me that I am honorable. And that's what it was said of Jabez here. And that should be our goal. He did not want to live up to his name. His goal was to live honorably and not to cause pain to others. You know, that ought to be our same goal, shouldn't it? Not to give pain to others, but to give joy to them. And then he goes on to say that you would bless me. Oh, that you would bless me indeed. And I thought this is a little unusual. Oh, that you would bless me is fine, but that you would bless me indeed. What exactly did he mean by that? Indeed. I looked it up in Hebrew to see what that word that's translated indeed meant. And it meant no doubt, surely, truly. And I like that. Oh, that you would bless me truly. And that really spoke to me. You know, 22 years ago, my wife went through a terrible sickness. She couldn't sleep. She was having constant panic attacks. She couldn't even write her a check. She couldn't tell which side of the road to drive on, so we didn't let her drive. And she was absolutely miserable. We would get up and walk the streets of Mount Mesa in the middle of the night. And it was so bad, I couldn't stand seeing her like that. It killed me to see her like that. And I would pray and pray and pray, and she was always saying, pray for me. I got to where I didn't want to because my prayers didn't seem to be answered. You know what? I finally started praying. God, would you take her home? She's in misery. Would you take her home? And I am so glad that the Lord did not answer that prayer. If he would have answered that prayer, she would never have met six of her grandchildren. She would never have seen any of her grandchildren get married. She would never have seen any of her great-grandchildren. She would never bless so many of you as she has. And yet I was sincere in my prayer. Now, what I see in this is that, oh, that you would bless me indeed. That you would bless me in spite of myself. If you would bless me in spite of what I ask for. Because you know what's best. In other words, you know, when Jesus was in the garden, he prayed. And he said, Lord, if it be okay with you, let this pass from me. But then he said this, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. You know, his will was done in spite of my prayer with Trudy. And so, yes, he did bless me indeed. And then he prayed, and enlarge my territory. Now I had to really think about this one. Enlarge my territory. Now we know he's an honorable man, so he's not praying for riches. Lord, make me rich. But he's saying, enlarge my territory. Now, enlarging his territory would probably give him more, as we know it, money. But in his heart, if he's an honorable man, why is he wanting that? He's wanting that to bless others. But he's not wanting it to make himself rich, but to bless others. And that has to be his heart desire there. Enlarge my territory. Enlarge my area of thinking. Enlarge my area of friends. Enlarge my area of witness. And that's one of the things we're praying for here in our church in Inner Valley. Enlarge our territory. We want to reach out. We want to take other territory, territory that the enemy has had, but we want to take it. Enlarge my territory. That your hand would be with me. Now, don't you like that? That God's hand would be with me. He would be holding my hand. Why? Because, you know, as parents, when we have little children, what do? We grab them by the hand and we lead them. Why? Because we want to take them to the right places. But also, we hold on to them for protection because those little boogers will run right out in front of a truck if you let them, you know? And so we have to hold them in our hand. And he's saying he wants God to hold his hand, to keep him, to lead him, to keep him in control, to keep him from danger. And then he goes on to say, and that you would keep me from evil. Why? That I might not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. And you would keep me from evil that I might not cause pain. Did you know our sins hurt others? They really do. Our sins, men, can hurt our spouses. Our sins, women, can hurt your spouses. Really, they hurt our parents. Children, hear that? They hurt our children. They hurt our church. They hurt our community. But even more than that is they hurt God. And Jabez didn't want to do that. He didn't want to cause pain. So he's asking God to keep him from evil. That's okay to ask God, isn't it? Keep us from evil. Now, many of us try to hide our sins. But the Word says our sins will find us out. Yes. Numbers 32:23. But if you do not do so, then take note, you have sinned against the Lord. And they were given instructions here, the Israelites, and it says, but if you do not do so, then take note, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that he will also reap. Now, we need to understand about this. Many of us have the sin of denial. Trudy talked about this 2 weeks ago. And our continual denial will always lead us further into dark consequences. We need to understand that. This sin of denial is a very, very serious thing. She talked about it for about 35 or 40 minutes the other day. It's a very serious thing to be in denial of our sin. You know, what I've found is pride stands in the way of recognizing and dealing with our sin and the pain caused by our sin. I think Joel talked about that last week, our pride and the sin of our pride. Did you know that if we cannot admit our failures and grieve over them, now listen to this, there can be no cure for us. It's so important to grasp and understand. If we're going to go forward, if we're going to make this a prayer here, a part of our life. Now, when you act at home, and another way at church or in the public, you have to know it's wrong. And yet people rationalize it, thinking they're all right with God. They're in denial. And we just need to grasp this and understand it. You know, one of the things I found is the sin of showing partiality to one of your children over the other always hurts the family. We see it with Joseph and his brothers. Joseph was a favorite. He lorded it over the others as he was a favorite. Now, in the end, that came out okay. God used that to get his people into Egypt, into slavery for 400 years until they grew into the nation that he wanted them to be and then brought them back into what we call the Promised Land. But if we, there was consequences of that. And parents' sins flow to their children. We need to understand that. You know what I think is one of the biggest sins in the church today? It's parents not disciplining their children. It really is. And look how many children are led astray because the parents would not love them enough to discipline them. He gives that responsibility to mom and dads to discipline their children. Now, some of them are tough to discipline. There's no doubt about that. Some of them are easy to discipline. You know, we had, well, Michael was easy to discipline. Judy was a bear at times. Now she's a beautiful woman, you know, she really is, but she gave us a hard time. We had to really discipline her over and over. She didn't give in easily. And so she and I'd have some real battles. But she's such a beautiful woman now. Why? I stuck to the discipline because I knew that's what God wanted me to do, and I knew what it would do for her. I was a policeman at the time, and I saw so many kids getting into trouble. Why? Because parents didn't discipline them. And I see it in the church too. So we really, it's a big sin that causes pain to them and pain to their child. Now, some pain is necessary. Proverbs 20:30, blows that hurt cleanse away evil and do stripes the inner depths of the heart. When we had the school here, I would have parents spank their children if it was what we called a spankable offense. And we would limit, and one woman had never spanked her child. And she was a little tough to handle. And so I called her in to spank her child. And we have a big wooden paddle. And she took the paddle, and she just, boop. And I told her that blows that hurt cleanse away evil. Now, you've got to hit her harder than that. So she hit her a little harder. And I says, that's not hard enough. She's not even feeling that. Now, hit her harder. Whap, a little harder. And I says, that's not quite hard enough. A little bit harder. And then she whapped her. And, oh, she just had such a hard time with it. But the child turned out to be a real asset in our school. because she received that training, and it created a little bit of hurt to cleanse away that evil that she was in. Look at this. The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increases, but the righteous will see their fall. Correct your son, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul. Now, I can tell you, my kids have given delight to my soul. They all love the Lord. They all choose mates that love the Lord. They're raising their children in the Lord. They have really given delight to my soul. They really have. Did Trudy and I have a lot to do with it? Oh, yes, we did. One of the things that I understood early in my Christian walk is that I had to live the life that Christ called me to when I'm out in the public, but also in my home. I had to set that example for my children. Trudy had to set that example for our children. And let me tell you, it paid off. Our children are a delight to our soul. This morning, they're all in church. Not here. Well, I shouldn't say that. Michael's not in church. But it's not because he doesn't want to be. His heart is with the church. His heart is bringing the word to the church. That's his heart. And he would be here if he was able to be here. And they are delight to our heart. You know, denying the sad truth about ourselves leads to a loss of important opportunities to correct our character flaws. And therefore, it hinders our growth, which causes pain to others. If we don't correct our character flaws, we're going to cause pain to others. We really are. And so that's why it's so important to correct our character flaws. It's in character. It's important for us. It's important for our children. It's important for the families here in the church. It is such an important thing to correct those flaws so that our spiritual growth is not hindered and we don't cause pain to others. Now, some of you might feel pain because of what I just said. But that can be a positive pain if it will lead to repentance. I like this. Paul is saying when he writes to the Corinthians, "Now I rejoice." What is he rejoicing about? That you were made sorry. Not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. See, we need his word to convict us. And we need to be made sorry for our sins. We need to understand how wicked our sins are. But none of us, most of us don't want to look at our sins as being wicked. In fact, is we want to blame other people for it. Instead of looking inward to ourselves to see what's wrong with me? What am I doing that's wrong? And sometimes we compare ourselves with other people and, well, we're doing pretty good compared to other people. But how are we doing compared to God's word, what he wants out of us? How are we doing? And that's the question that we have to ask ourselves. You know, David made a lot of mistakes, didn't he? Yet in all of his sin and failure, he was called a man after God's own heart. Why? Because his heart was open toward God. He was open to correction. After each failure, he was willing to admit the truth, accept the consequences, and receive God's forgiveness. And it's so important that we really don't deny our sin, but accept it and accept the consequences of it, because there are consequences to sin. We all know that, right? If you don't, you're not in Christianity 101. Pretty simple, isn't it? Even in the midst of pain and failure and grief, because he had a lot of grief, he remained a man whose primary desire was to know God. That needs to be our primary desire, to know God, to know his will, and to walk in that will so that we don't have hard consequences come upon us, upon our children, upon our family. Psalm 99:8 says this: You answered them, O Lord our God. You were to them God who forgives, though you took vengeance on their deeds. Now, we're told in the Word that God's going to take vengeance upon our deeds. So therefore, we really need to be careful of it. You know, our men's Bible study just on Saturday morning at 7 o'clock, just invite you men to come out. We have an honesty among the men there, and we're really ministering to one another. We're really looking at all these types of things, and it is so good. And so I just want to encourage you men to take part in it. Now, Billy here, raise your hand, Billy. Yeah. Billy does not like to get up early. And it kept him from coming for a while, but now then he is forcing himself up early, and he's there. So, I just want you guys to know that. you're welcome. You know, what I want to share is we are never an island to ourselves. We're really not. We are part of a whole, a member of Christ's body. When we sin, we hurt others. When they sin, they hurt us. And we need to move beyond self-centered focus and learn to love others instead of causing them pain, instead of causing pain to them by our sins. Now, I want to close with this scripture. Psalm 128, 1 through 4. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Did you see that? Do we want God's blessing? As he did, he called down God's blessing indeed. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his way. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy. That's enlarge my territory. You shall be happy. It shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. You want your wife to be a fruitful vine? Yes. Then straighten up. This is my fruitful vine over here. In the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Can't close with anything greater than that, can I? Shall a man be blessed who fears the Lord? Let's all stand. On Wednesday? Yeah. Okay. Just a reminder, they're going to start this time of prayer on Wednesday, and at 6 p.m. we're going to have worship here. And so just really want to encourage you all to come out. You know, we really need to gather together here. I don't know. I want God's will to be done. I want glory to be brought to him through Michael. Will it be by taking him? or will it be by him being healed? I frankly think it would be by him being healed. And that's my heart's desire. It really is. But I have to understand Peter and James were both arrested. James was killed. The next day, Peter was going to be killed. And an angel came and released Peter from prison. God had a purpose for Peter going on, and we see that in the letters and in his ministry and everything. James was one of Jesus' favorite, and yet he was taken. Now, I don't understand all that. I don't know what God is going to do, but I'm going to keep praying for his miraculous healing until I know otherwise. That's not going to stop. I know you've said enough. Go ahead. Make it short.
In between those two events, James being killed and Peter being freed, the scripture says that the church gathered all night long to pray. That could be a key to it all.
That's right. Good. I'm glad I let you say that. Okay, let's pray. Father, we do thank you. Thank you for your word and the power of your word. And Lord, I pray that it'll go forth and produce fruit, because that's what your word does. It produces fruit, Lord. And we want it to produce fruit. We want it to change lives for the better. And Lord, we don't want this to cause pain to others. Lord, I don't want to cause pain to others. I know sometimes I do, but I don't want to cause pain to others. So Lord, I pray that you'll help me. I pray that you'll help all of us not to do that, and I ask it all in Jesus' name, and God bless you, all you fathers today. We serve a good, good Father.